Next, we are going to talk about the history of the chief complaint. And the history of the chief complaint is a term that's used very commonly in medical history taking. And so I've carried that through so that it's familiar for you if you're coming from a standard traditional medical world. It's really basically, what is it that the person wants to address? What are the complaints, the symptoms, the syndromes, the diseases, whatever they may be calling it, that they're basically seeking your help for? And there's a mnemonic that helps you to remember all the questions that you might want to ask, or I recommend that you ask. You don't have to necessarily do them in this particular order, but it helps to remember them and so you don't leave anything out. And we're going to have two slides on this and talk about two different sets of mnemonics that will carry you through the most important questions to ask.
So before we begin, let's just make sure that you're aware that any of the information I'm presenting here is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's also not medical advice. And when you're presenting to your clients, you need to be really careful and make sure that they are aware that what you're presenting and what I'm presenting here today is intended as a sharing of my knowledge, information, clinical research, and clinical experience over many years. I encourage you, and you should encourage your clients, to make their own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. This is especially true for folks who are on any medications. Just want to make sure that the things that we talk about in terms of nutrition are not going to interfere with the protocol.
So very first, most important thing is onset. That's the O. So the mnemonic is OPQRST, OPQRST. So O is for onset. When did it first begin? What was the mode of onset? What was the mode of ending, if it ended? And what's the initial treatment, if any? And when I say ending, like if it was a trauma, did it have a particular time when you were injured and then there was a time where you received treatment, and what was your initial treatment, if any? And then the progression. How did it progress? So if it was a trauma or it was an acute onset of an injury or illness, how did it progress? Was it suddenly there or did it gradually build up? Sometimes after a trauma, the pain builds up slowly. You feel fine, and then over the course of the next 24 hours, it starts to happen again. It starts to get worse. So previous occurrence is the other thing you want to look at. And previous occurrence meaning, is this the first time this ever happened, or had it happened at other points in your life? And you want to get the details about that because that makes it just makes a difference in whether this is a chronic recurring problem or if it's something brand new. And if it's chronic and recurring, we want to look at factors in the life, maybe specific stressors or specific exposures that may trigger it from time to time. What's the timing of that previous occurrence in terms of time of day, time of month? And that's actually under the T. So you've got OP, there's two P's, progression and previous occurrence. The Q is for the quality of the pain or discomfort, if there is a pain or discomfort. Is it sharp? Is it dull? Does it radiate? Is it like pins and needles? So you really want people to really explain to you what the quality is, because that can determine what's going on. Now, if you're not trained to be looking at musculoskeletal things and they're talking about shoulder pain, you might be in over your head, but you can be looking at the nutritional components of that. And you can refer them to the appropriate person to get hands-on body work, but explain to them the connection with inflammation and the biochemistry that they may be wanting to seek concurrent care. Radiation, does it go to other parts of the body? Sometimes pains start in one area and they radiate down distally. That gives you an idea of what kind of a problem it is. Certain organ things like shoulder pain from a liver problem or chest pain that radiates down into your arm or neck or chin from a heart problem. And sometimes gastrointestinal stuff can radiate up to the shoulder or the diaphragm. So there's a lot of different pinpoint places that you can pinpoint. You want to look at any other related or concurrent symptoms. They say they have headaches. And you find out that the headaches first started when they turned 13. And the headaches progress. They get worse at certain times of the month, right? And then at the same time as they get headaches, they also get a little bit of nausea. Well, you might be thinking, huh, is this related to menstrual periods? So when you ask about other concurrent or related symptoms, it gives you more of a clue as to where you're looking for the site of the problem. Then you look at S. The S is for, there's three S's, site, setting, and severity. The S of site is just where is it located? Are they having diffuse pain? Are they having pain in just a few joints? Are they having pain in their abdomen? Are they having burning going up their esophagus? Where is the pain or the discomfort or the symptoms, maybe numbness and tingling that they might be having? What's the setting under which their symptoms occur? Does it always happen when they're at work? Does it always happen after they've had a fight with their spouse? So what kind of stressors or environmental factors might be telling you what's going on based on the setting under which the symptoms occur? So severity, is this a minor irritation or is it really severe and debilitating? And that's important to know, and also the timing. Like I said, does it happen at particular times of day, times of the week, times of the month? Is it timed with any specific activities or locations, things like that? So the second part of this has the A, B, C, D, E, F. So we're alphabet. So it's OPQRST and A, B, C, D, E, F. So there's a few other things you want to know when you talk to them about what's going on with them. Associated symptoms, things that always happen in concurrence with what their chief complaint is. So maybe every time they get a headache, they also get a pain at the bottom of their foot. I'm just making that up. So B, better with. What do they get relief from? What activities, what positions, what treatments, what lifestyle factors? And it's really important to ask them, what are the treatments that you've had for this? Have you had acupuncture? Have you done herbal medicine? Have you done a dietary protocol? Have you done medications, physical therapy? So ask them what they've done to try to get this thing resolved, because you will know based on what helps it and what hinders it, you'll know best what things might be going on and what you might approach it with. So if they say, well, I've been taking this supplement and that supplement and doing this diet and it hasn't changed, then you're going to be looking for, well, what else can they be doing, rather than telling them the same things that they've already tried. Contributing factors to making the symptoms worse. What contributes to it being worse? Like I said, is it time of the month? Is it every time your son plays loud music? Is it when you're in the car or a gas station? Some people have environmental illnesses that are worse than when they're in the shopping mall. That's an indication that their river may not be handling their toxins really well. So there's all these things you want to ask about so you can then understand what the underlying problem is associated with. How long does it last? Is this a chronic problem that's there all the time, or is it come episodically? Do they have sleepless nights 3 days out of the month that just happens to coordinate with ovulation or with their period? How long does it last? Does it only last for a few minutes, or does it last for a few hours or days or weeks? How does it affect your day-to-day activities? Is it debilitating when you have a flare-up? Are you in bed for days, or is it just a minor annoyance that you're just tired about ignoring it? You're taking care of. And basically frequency, how often does this happen? If it's an episodic kind of thing, how frequently is it happening? And if it's a more of a daily thing, how many times a day? People always tell me I have hot flashes. So how many times do you have hot flashes? Oh, well, I have them 3 or 4 times a day. Or somebody else may say, well, yeah, these hot flashes are miserable. How often do you have them? Well, 3 or 4 times a week. Somebody else may say, oh, yeah, I have these hot flashes. They're really annoying. How often do you have that? 3 or 4 times a month. So it gives you an idea of how severe the problem is and what we need to be looking at in terms of helping them to manage it. So let's stop here and take a look at the actual forms that I'm providing you to help you to assess the history of the chief complaint. I don't have all those OPQRS T and ABCDE app. I don't have all those questions on the form because I find I just really prefer to ask the questions rather than have all of those on the form. You may choose to have them all on the form and just ask them, when did it start? What makes it worse? What makes it better? But after a while, you know, I think people try to be really quick when they're writing in the forms, which is good in some cases where it's not the most relevant information and they're trying to share to you, you know, the details about how their neighbor cooked, you know, vegetable soup for them when they went in the hospital with their gallbladder attack. And they can get off on tangents. But with the history of the chief complaint, I really think it's important and I really like to ask them. So you can put some of the questions on there and you'll see that I put some on, but not all of the questions because it just we tend to get a broader history when you ask the person. So you have them list them and then you go from there. Okay, so the history of their primary health challenges. Basically, I have them identify, just list your top health challenges. The only one that's mandatory, you see the little red star, means that it's mandatory for this form software. Yeah, they have to put at least one. Otherwise, why are they bothering, right? So they put at least one, but they can put up to 10. I don't encourage them to put up to 10, but some people get a little annoyed when you only leave a spot for 3 and they have 5 or 8 or whatever. So I decided to just go for 10. It's a computer. It's not going to fill anything in. It's not really a waste of paper or anything like that. So the next section, I have them rate the severity of each of those health challenges. And again, they don't have to fill them all in. And it's anywhere from 1 to 10. 1 meaning a minor annoyance, 10 being really severe and intolerable. So that gives me an idea of how severe these challenges really are in relationship to each other and in relationship to the total person. And then I have them rank the priority of each of these. So the priority meaning urgent, they need to get it fixed right away, all the way down to low priority. So that's all I put on the History of the Chief Complaints online form. I have a few more things on the other form and I'll get to show you that. Italian here called it Chief Complaints and Chief Concerns. So have them list the problem. And here we have a little space where they could put just a little bit about the onset, really just looking for a date, you know, September 14th, 2008, how often the thing happens and what the severity is. And then I have a spot where they could say what diagnosis or explanation has been given to you. So what have you been told is the problem that's causing these particular symptoms? When was the last time you felt well? That's a question I always ask people in the initial interview. After we've gone over what their chief complaints are, I'll say, when was the last time you felt really well? And some of them will go, that was 8 years old. And you can get some amazing information when you ask that question. And then, did something trigger you change in health? And you'll think, and you're all, well, you know, my parents got divorced, and I this and that, and I was shuttled between relatives. And then, of course, the exacerbation and the what makes it better, what makes it worse. And then I have below, and then I ask a few other questions. What physicians have you seen for the above health conditions? And then what alternative treatments have you tried? And there's a list of some alternative treatments. Gives me an idea of what they've tried. And then I can ask them in the interview, well, how effective was it? What was the most effective treatment? And we can ask a lot of questions. So you can see the actual form itself is very short and sweet. The next major segment of the history is what's currently going on besides this main complaint that they've got, besides this main thing that's going on for them, what else is going on? What other things are going on? So the review of body systems, that's a brief review where you can have them, either you can do it on paper or you could do it orally when you're talking to them. I recommend that you do it on a form. I do a very generic form that says, what's going on? What challenges do you have with your respiratory system? What challenges do you have with your digestion? What challenges do you have with your sexual area? And I just ask them that and have them fill it in. I also, later on, we'll look at, I have some scorecards and little inventory, symptom inventories that I also have them do. Now, that may seem like a duplication of effort, and you may not choose to do that. But I like to do that because when you give them an open box to talk about it, you sometimes get a lot more detail. Like they'll explain if they have heartburn, you know, three times a week, they'll explain and that certain foods trigger it, or laying down in bed trigger it. So you get a lot of information when you have an open-ended question with some people. Some people, it just doesn't matter. They just give you the quick yes and no answers, and they're out of there. So that's where you really need to start asking the questions during the interview. The goal is to keep the interview time down. You don't want to spend 3 hours with a person on your first health consultation. And quite frankly, you can. It would be very easy to do that. So we're going to go through and review all the body systems. We're going to look at their nutrition and lifestyle habits. We'll look at their exercise habits and history. We'll look at their sleep habits and the history of that. Stress evaluation and risk assessment. This is a really important piece, and we'll talk more about it when we get there. But the stress evaluation, for certain stressful events that happen in your life that have actually been studied and shown to be impacting your health. Like certain things put you at higher risk of heart disease or higher risk of stroke or even death if you've got certain key stressful events happening in your life. And it's not just the events that cause it, of course. It's the management of those events. It's how you respond to them. And one of your goals as a health coach is to really focus on helping people to see how their stress levels affects their biochemistry and affects their health overall. So it's an important questionnaire to be doing. Medications and nutritional supplements. Of course, you want to make sure that you've got the medications covered. You want to know what those medications are and what supplements they're taking, and really look into if there's some indications of side effects, or what I call the effects of polypharmacy, where they're on multiple medications and one medication caused certain symptoms and the doctor put them on another medication for those symptoms, referred them to a specialist, and then they've got put on more medications, and they're on so many medications that I've actually said to somebody, talk to your doctor about stopping on your medication and see how you feel. Or they'll speak to me and they'll say, oh, I don't think I need this anymore. So talk to your doctor. And I've had people go off 6 medications over the course of a month or two just because of getting their act together with their bodies. Environmental influence is huge. You know, if somebody works near high power lines or works in an environment where there's a lot of chemicals or uses a lot of chemicals at home, cleaning products and pesticides and makeup even, they can be very toxic. So we look at those environmental things. We also look at the dental history and what's going on in their mouths, because infections in the mouth can create stress in other parts of the body. It can actually create cardiovascular stress and other things. So what you want to talk to them about their dental stuff, and if you see them in person, get out of them, open your mouth and take a look. You see, they may have some abscesses. There's a mapping that I've given you. You'll see it on the page, which maps out all the different teeth to different parts of your body. And that's a Chinese medicine. There are RHD acupuncture meridians and all sorts of various emotions. So I've shared some of those charts with you. It's really important to find these things out, because they may be having a systemic problem like chronic fatigue because they've got some decay in their mouth, or they've got some old root canals that have gone bad. And then finally, current healthcare procedures that they're doing. So that would be if they're doing acupuncture or chiropractic, when they're getting, you know, IV whatevers, or they're getting dialysis, which hopefully we're not going to see too many people on dialysis, but that would be awfully nice to get some people on dialysis with nutrition. So you want to ask them about that. I don't have a questionnaire for that, because that's usually something that comes up as I'm going through the history of the chief complaint. But I wanted to point that out separately, that it is really important that you ask people about their healthcare practices and who else is on their team right now. You want to look at it as a team, all working together for the better, greater good of this particular person. Let's start with the review of body systems, and then we'll go to their page and we'll take a look at the review of body systems evaluations. Some of the things that they can be experiencing are general fatigue, fever, appetite, weight, and sleep. You want to look at that. Are they having any of these general symptoms in those areas? Are they having symptoms in the digestive tract? You might ask about, how's your digestion? Do you gas or burp after your meals? Do you consider yourself to have healthy digestion? What does that mean? You want to ask them about their bowel movements. their bowel movements are really important indicators of the health of their body. And not having enough of them can create quite a tizzy. In respiratory, you can ask them things about how well they breathe. Do they get short of breath at certain times? Do they get mucus buildup? Are they wheezing? Do they have a history of asthma? In the cardiovascular, you want to ask them things like, do they get pains in their calves after running or exerting their body? Do they have chest pain? Have they ever been told they have angina? So we're actually going through, we're really more going through today's current symptoms, and we'll have another review where you can go back and ask them all their past stuff. Musculoskeleton, with aches and pains and swellings in their joints and in their muscles. Neurologic, and that would include things like headaches or tension problems, depression, anxiety. You're going to focus. They have reproductive problems of women trying to get pregnant and they haven't been. Are they having hot flashes? Are they having, they've been trying to get their sex drive back because they have no sex drive? There's all sorts of questions in that area. We'll take a closer look when we look at the hormone regulation area, the questionnaires. Urinary. Well, how often do they urinate? What's the flow like? Do they have very yellow urine or is it more dilute? Do they have pain in their kidneys? Do they have bladder infections on regular basis? All sorts of things to ask in that area. You can ask them about their hormones. And when I say hormones, I don't just mean the sex hormones like estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. I'm talking your adrenal hormones, your thyroid hormone, growth hormone, leptin. These are all really important hormones that regulate appetite and fat burning and blood sugar levels. And they're really important hormones to ask about. You want to ask about the skin, especially if they have digestive problems, because the skin is yet another avenue for toxins to leak the body. And when you get a backup in your colon, when you're not releasing through your colon, oftentimes you develop skin rashes to expel toxins that way. In your liver is something we want to ask about. You can ask about pain underneath the right rib cage, which you can ask, how do you digest your fat? Do you have problems with fat digestion? Do you ever have clay-colored stools? And we'll see as we look at some of those questionnaires how important goes on. Let's go to review of body systems. Oh, let's look at the online form. This online form is a real basic form. I leave a lot of room for people to open up, share if they want to, and some of them do and some of them don't. I ask them, list any current health concerns, symptoms, or diagnoses you are experiencing for each one of the following body systems. If you're not sure, if it's questionable, write unsure, and if there are no issues, write MERN. So we do those same systems I just mentioned, musculoskeletal, neurologic, cardiovascular, respiratory, digestive, urinary, reproductive sexual system, skin and hair. What's that skin doing? Is it drying out? Is the hair falling out? Mental and emotional. Yeah. Mood swings. How are you feeling there? Hormonal system, focus and learning capabilities. And some of these could be wrapped up in others, but I separate them out because most people don't consider them all together. They will more consider them to be individual. So that's the review of systems. Right, so let's take a look at the Word version of that file, of the review of systems. And we have given you a Word version and a PDF, so you can play around with it. You can add some things if you feel like you're missing. You can take some things out if you think that it's too much, all right? And this just goes on and asks, this is not a score one. This is not like, how often do you have it? This is just asking if you're currently experiencing or in the recent past, skip any that don't apply, just click, 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 and it just gives you an idea of where some of those symptoms lie. Again, it's not a scorecard. It doesn't tell you how severe the problem is. We do that more on those scorecards. Again, if you feel like this is too much duplication and you don't want to be quite this thorough, you're welcome to not use it. I actually don't use this particular form anymore because I feel like it's too much. There may be certain circumstances that I would, especially if I was someone who doesn't like to write and or doesn't isn't good at typing and doesn't really want to spend a lot of time or they're hard to communicate with. I'll have it done in writing. Also, use something like this when we're dealing with someone's older relative who's not as coherent as they ought to be, and they can chat with their relative and get this filled in very easily. So I don't use this one that much, but you'll see it's very, very thorough. It's got all the systems and all the symptoms. And this is really good to study something like this because that gives you, the more you look at it, the more you're going to be able to spew these things off the top of your head. Oh yeah, do they have this symptom, that symptom, or another symptom? So that's basically the reviewer system. We're going to stop here and then we'll go on the next video. We'll look at the dental and the environmental stuff and the diet.